Hey, everybody. I love this conversation. Folks always tune in for this one. It's one of my hottest topics, crafty lead-ins to difficult conversations. We all know that there are difficulties around communication. Whether it's healthcare or aging, there just are difficulties. There's a gazillion reasons that we don't communicate well. Maybe we're intimidated by our doctor. Or we don't know how to start a conversation, or we don't know which way this one's gonna go. Talk produces fear and even dread for a lot of people. A lot of my work involves coaching around conversation, sometimes as much as the advocacy and the guiding actions themselves. Improving communication is a big part of the how-to department, and knowing how to start a conversation is the ticket in. It's funny, the younger loved ones often tell me that their elders, the older loved ones, their elders just clam up, won't discuss matters. And the elders in turn tell me they can't get the youngers to come to the table so that they can express what they want or how things are going to go. Both camps are fairly represented in what I'm going to cover today. Before we get started, a few quick tips before we get to the techniques. Let's talk first about preparation for talking. My first tip is to gain agreement, and I call that collecting a yes. You can collect a yes in advance of a conversation, and you can get more than one yes. And you can do that even when you're making the date to decide to talk with one another, or again by confirming it. Here's how to begin to collect some yeses. May we sit down this evening? Yes. Are we still on for Saturday to chat? Yes. Are we still going to talk about the upcoming medical appointment, or helping me to know how to find a financial planner, or to go over the information about those assisted livings, or confirm our plans for when Tom and I are away? Yes, yes, yes. They're subtle, but they're very simple agreements, so you can collect yeses. And this technique comes in handy for the next section I'm going to talk about today, too. My second preparation tip is get comfortable. To the extent that you can, know what makes the other person comfortable. Is the other person in their favorite chair? Are you both sitting down, maybe to coffee or tea? Is it a good time of day for the other person? And is the conversation going to occur in a good place that's free of distraction? With that preparation, we can now move toward beginning our conversation. First tip there, keep gaining agreement, keep collecting yeses. Take a moment to level your playing field by agreeing that, well, this may be a difficult conversation, or touchy, or emotional. Something like, gosh, Mom, I sure feel funny talking about this. Or, seems weird to make a date to talk about showering, doesn't it? Or, Frank, we may differ in our ways to achieve this, but I know that we can work together to help Tammy. So agreement can be gained right there at the very beginning. You're on a level playing field, and there's an opportunity to kind of respect one another and acknowledge that we may be coming from different positions. The next important tip is agree on a signal to stop. Agree on a password or a signal to stop or to pause the conversation, and that empowers each of the parties to stop. Keeps the playing field level. The conversation is thus remained balanced. So remember your signal and use it. Here's one way. A client of mine named Katie and her father, who was an ex-military man, they laughingly agreed to that if the going got tough, that the other party would salute the other, and that signal would have them pause, and then they could decide together whether they wanted to continue. But there's more to that password or that signal. You can agree to continue or return later, or go get more information and come back. There's a lot of options. So use your password and your signal. And I'll say it again, keep collecting yeses. So it's important to you, Doris, to remain in your home safely. Yes. And we could both feel better if we worked together to do that, couldn't we? Yes. Oh, I didn't realize that was a priority. Let's talk about that, okay? Yes. Another tip, check in from time to time with the other person about the status of the conversation. Mom, are you still feeling okay about this conversation? Is it okay to continue? Yes. Tony, that is a good question, and we're going to have to figure that out. Or, I'll bet you never thought we'd be talking about XYZ in such detail, did you? How are you doing with that? So there's a little concession here, a little compromise there, or just a statement like, here we are talking, or we're going to get through this, okay? So here it is. Now it's time for the meat, what you all came for, my top four crafty lead-ins for difficult conversations. The first one I call way to go. You know that old saying that you catch more flies with honey. As a practice, start off each conversation by acknowledging something positive and talking about what is working well. For instance, you might say something like, I'm glad to see that you moved the cabinet items that you use every day down to easy access for you and mom to get at the cabinets. You don't have to use that step ladder anymore. That was a great idea to rearrange your stuff. Or, nice job on preparing your questions for the doctor. And you got a list of medications and your dosages ready. You know, your thoughts are really collected, and your provider's going to appreciate your preparedness. Now, most everybody enjoys praise, and when your compliments are genuine, it's going to go a long ways. Then you'll have a better opening, you know, to start conversations in the future on that level playing field. Second crafty lead-in, the consultative approach. Now, contrary to the Dale Carnegie school of thought, there are times and situations where people do not appreciate being asked to talk about themselves. As far as elder care is concerned, and especially if it's private or sensitive, if we're talking about challenges, that can be touchy. And elders may want to avoid the subject altogether. They don't even want to talk about their lives if it's sensitive. On the other hand, the elders will be interested in helping the youngers. For example, advising their adult children or their grandchildren. Well, who doesn't like to be asked for an opinion or a how-to? To that end, consider asking for advice for a problem you may have. Consulting with your elder. So, me as the younger, I'd say, now that our family's growing, we have to think about estate planning. We need to think about who's going to raise our child if something happens to us. Where did you start? How did you choose your attorney? There's a lot of inroads on the consultative approach. Use your circumstance and ask the elder how. Me as the younger again. You know, it's funny, Mom. At this stage in our life, our house seems to be overflowing now that the kids are getting older. They're accumulating so much stuff. Do you and Dad ever feel do you and Dad ever feel this house seems big now and empty to you? And here's a good one. And this one is so apt. Again, I'm the younger. I'm starting to think about retirement. Even though it's a long ways off, when you were my age, had you begun to think about retirement? How did you find your financial planner or your attorney or other resources for retirement? You know, if you're given an inch in this kind of situation, go for the proverbial mile. If your elders begin to share or engage in their consultative dialogue, ask more questions. Keep pulling at the thread. Above all, be genuine and adopt an attitude of praise for their guidance. The third crafty lead-in, and this is my favorite, it's called Flip It. Another conversation strategy for avoiding defensiveness on the part of the elders is to focus the conversation on someone else. Your parents may bring up a malady of a neighbor or a friend or somebody at church, and this is your time to listen and flip it. Seize the opportunity. Begin by asking, well, what can we do to help with that malady? Or discuss what the other person might need, and then flip it. Talk about how you or they or this group that you're in might manage that same challenge. It can go something like this. I remember my grandmother saying, Miss Bradshaw fell last week and her caregiver had to get help to get her up. They had to call 911. Now, when you're flipping, you're going to use the uncertainty to lay a foundation for future discussions. And what I'm about to say is either for the younger or the elder. Wow, is my number by the phone in case of an emergency? Or who has or knows where a key to this house is? Use the uncertainty. Flip it. Another person's circumstance. How would you handle it? You can also employ storytelling. You know, if an opportunity is not readily presenting itself, then you can tell a story about a colleague at work. Make one up if you have to. Talk about Frank. Frank had to leave midday from work today to go to Michigan. Something about urgent care need for his father. You know, Frank's family didn't have his work number, so there was a delay in them reaching him with the news. Then get the family to imagine Frank's situation. Wonder out loud how you and your loved ones might manage that same challenge, communicating a work number, preparedness, being able to get in touch with one another. Take somebody else's circumstance and flip it. Fourth crafty lead-in. This one's good for your creative juices. It's called newsjacking. Sometimes a headline can create a great lead-in for a conversation. Let the TV, let the evening news, let the gossip usher in your jack. This is especially effective in lowering resistance because everybody is often happy to discuss current events. For instance, if I were the younger, I'd say, you know, I just saw an article about real estate prices where you live. Are y'all seeing a lot of new construction or older homes being torn down to give way for McMansions? My own elders would watch their favorite TV station. They'd watch that news channel like clockwork. So it's real easy for me to bring up, hey, did you see that piece on Channel 11 about the businesswoman who was scammed out of $15,000? Just by watching that piece, I learned a lot about scams and what to do and how we can protect ourselves and go into the conversation. Watch your elders, though. See how they respond. Is their neighborhood indeed changing and the older homes are being torn down to make way for McMansions? If logic prevails here, then this might be a good time to talk about getting the most out of their, the most value out of their investment in their current home. And that can lead to conversations about downsizing or moving. Lots of conversations. As for scams, we can never know enough about scams. And storytelling is a great way to newsjack, to teach, and to plan. And the last crafty lead-in, it's partnering, not parenting. You know, everybody is uncomfortable enough when the roles of the elder and the younger seem to start to reverse. especially if the conversations turn kind of dark and scary. There are ways to diffuse tension and bring everybody along together. I know a family that began, they sat down to plan as a family unit, and they began to say the word unit, and then they started pointing at each other and saying unit and unit, and they all giggled. Everybody was just kidding around. But then they decided to call themselves WeKnit, and their planning conversations a WeKnit, and it stuck. And finally, the patriarch of the family declared, you know, it's better to be a WeKnit than a nitwit. And they all had a good time. And so today, the WeKnits have been through a lot of elder care conversations, and they continue to talk, and they revisit their plans from time to time. Taking a collaborative approach and keeping it light brings everybody on the same page. A little levity can make a big difference. There's so many ways to have the conversation, which is a mantra of mine since 2014, have the conversation. There's no right or wrong way to do it. One obvious idea that's key is to start sooner rather than later, then be persistent. And be respectful of the younger's and the elder's wishes. If the approaches that I've covered today seem uncomfortable or unnatural, or if it seems too soon to employ, you now have these in your toolkit. Simply stay in touch and keep your lines of communication open. Look and listen for your inroads, and sooner or later, an opening will come. I'm here to help you if help is needed for you or a loved one as you encounter change. Solid communication is what I'm all about. If I can assist you with patient advocacy, healthcare navigation, what I call how stuff works, successful aging, solo aging, I invite you to contact me. I do offer a complimentary consultation toward engagement, and that's about a 20-minute phone call where we'll talk about your concerns. I'll likely tell you how I've assisted people in similar circumstances, and there's always time for question and answer. And you'll find the link to set up a complimentary consultation below this video in the show more section. And there's a contact page right on my website. So let's get in touch. Let's see if we're fit to work together. Until then, I want you all to go get crafty.